Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here for another Friday weekly Authentic Persuasion training session. So glad that you're here. So glad that you're tuning in. There's groups on here watching directly, let's say, via the Zoom webinar link. If you're not on that, please make sure to register for that as well. And then also, this is going out to LinkedIn, to Facebook, to YouTube, just everywhere I can. So welcome wherever you're watching this. This session, this training that I do, my goal is to help people who are in sales or want to be in sales or are thinking about sales, and they're just not sure how to do it in a way that feels right to them. And again, it's right to you, not right to me, not right to anybody else. But that's why I wrote Selling with Authentic Persuasion, why I do these Authentic Persuasion weekly training sessions, because most people think that there's only two ways to go with sales. One is the gross, old school, pushy, manipulative, charismatic, extroverted storytelling, just slick line, pushing people into buying mode. And then there's the other side, which feels more like order taking, which is if I'm nice, if I build rapport, if I have relationships, if I do the right thing for people and I show them the value in what I'm selling, then hopefully they will want to buy. They should just come to me. They should just want to buy. And that should be enough. And unfortunately, that's not sustainable. If you're in a sales role and you're relying on empathy, rapport, relationships to close enough deals, to make your quota, to meet your numbers, and to make a good living, for most people, that's not going to work. So the balance is in the middle. And that's why I wrote the book, to help people transform from order takers to quota breakers to deal makers to sales professionals. And so this is session number 22. So glad that you're here. If you're tuning in, I'm going to go through this training. If there's any questions you have, feel free to put them in the comments, in the chat, wherever you're watching. Again, whether it's in Zoom, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Facebook, or it's on YouTube. Feel free to put your sales-related questions, put anything in there you want me to address, to answer. If I have time at the end, I will do that. Last week's session, if you didn't catch it, session 21 was all about generating referrals. And I got some interesting feedback. I got some comments from people where it really resonated with them, the fact that if you're in sales, if you're not sure if you're going to be in sales very long, if you're worried that maybe sales isn't the right fit, which happens a lot, especially with the order takers that I deal with, where they just want to be successful. They want to do the right thing. They want to help people, but the problem is they just don't know how, and the results aren't there. And they're just worried about either wanting to leave sales and maybe it's not a good fit, or worried about that just impending feeling like there's a meeting their manager is going to call them in for when they tell them they're in trouble, they're not hitting their numbers, they're going to be let go. That is so unsettling. And that is when it feels like you're in survival mode. And we have that in our modes in life. I know that everybody has had that as a period in their life where it's like, feels like survival. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know what I'm going to do with this part of my life. And you're just stuck right now in this moment. You can't think long-term. If you feel that way in sales, the challenge is that you're not thinking about referrals. You're not thinking long-term. You're thinking short-term. Where that really gets people in trouble is they think, I need to close deals now, right? Like today is February 25th.
this. We have today, and then there's Monday, and that's all the business days for February. That's a lot of pressure. It's a short month. There was President's Day holiday here in the U.S., and so it's a short month on the calendar, and then it's even shorter because of that, and that makes it difficult. What happens is some people get desperate. They start pushing. They start thinking, I got to close deals or else I can't pay my bills or I might get fired. And they're so much in survival mode that they're now closing deals or pushing and trying to close deals that aren't very good. Either they start manipulating, start lying, start offering deals, start bribing their customers. Hey, if you sign up by Monday, I'll give you this much of a discount, right? I'll throw in this. I'll do this. Essentially, you're begging, bribing, and hoping that that's enough to get them to buy now for your urgency, not theirs. And I did some sessions on urgency. You can go and check those out. The key, though, is that if you're in that mode, it's so hard to think about referrals. So make sure to check out last week's session. Even if you're not in a business where you're going to get a lot of referrals, even if you're not in a place where you can think about referrals, because I have some people who are like, yeah, I'm not in a place. I don't care about referrals. Referrals aren't important to me. Check out that session because I did go on kind of an overall view of referrals and the mindset, like I was just talking about, where survival versus stability. If you're thinking of right now, right in this moment, it's tough for you to plant seeds in the garden that you might not get stuff from and be able to harvest from for 3 months or 6 months. When you need to eat today, that's all that matters is today. So watch that because it's really good reminder. Maybe it's a good shift in your mindset to help you realize, wait, I am in this mode and that's okay. How do I get out of that? So that someday I can think about referrals or I can just build a much different sales process, sales business, sales operation in my head at my company so that I'm not in this survival mode all the time. So that was last week's session. Really important. After I got done with that, I felt like that was a important message for a lot of people out there, especially because of what I see a lot of people deal with. So this week, what I want to cover is getting your ideal sales job. And so what does that mean? Well, when we're talking about getting your ideal sales job, it could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And so what I'm going to do is run through my list of the topics I generally talk to either people or companies. So it's on both sides. For now, for this session, for today, it's all about you. If you're in sales, if you have a sales role, or you're thinking about changing companies, or maybe you are not in sales, you're toying with the idea of getting into sales, and you're not sure if it's right for you or how to go about it or how to make sure you find the right fit, this session is for you. And again, make sure to like this wherever you're watching it, listening to it, like it, share it, leave a comment, say hello, say hey, where you're from. Let's get more of this out there to the world so that there's more positive stuff to help people sell in a way that's authentic for them and not just about slick closing lines or manipulation tactics and those kind of things that don't resonate with most people. And lead sales to being a dirty word in the world. So let's talk about it, getting your ideal sales job. So the first thing is for you to be aware and be focused on what it is that you want to sell. Now, here's the tough thing. And this is what's interesting. When I have started working with universities, colleges that have sales related programs, whether they have a class about professional sales or they have full on degree programs, one of the things I'm hearing constantly is that somebody 18, 19, 20 years old in college, they didn't even realize that sales is a career and that B2B sales is a thing, right? So most people at that age, I can speak for myself, you think sales is furniture, cars, cell phones, jewelry, things like that. You don't realize there's a whole world of people selling to other companies what it is that they're going to need as well, software, copiers, things like that. And so you might not know everything that's out there, but the big thing is what do you want to sell? What type of things do you want to sell? What kind of product or service would you be excited by and believe in? A lot of times what happens is people are a customer of something and then they realize, hey, that is really exciting. I love it from a customer perspective. And then they go into selling that. So again, that could be cars, it could be copy machines, whatever it is that excites you, but something where you're a customer. And there's a lot of value, and I'll tell you as a complete side note, is that if you're a customer of something, And then you go into sales. Now you're selling from a place of being a customer and experiencing that way. It's not a do as I say, not as I do. This is truly a do as I say, because I was in your shoes or something similar. I know what it's like. I know what you're going through. I know what you're trying to achieve. I've done that. Here's where I am. And this is where you could be as well. And so that's always powerful, way more powerful when you're selling something that you believe in and that you have direct experience with. Now, sometimes that's tough. Sometimes it's challenging to be a customer of something depending on what you deal with. Like, for example, at one period in my life, early on when I was in sales, if you will, I didn't realize it was sales at the time. So that's why I say in quotes, I was helping people who are in foreclosure. Now, I was not my own customer. I was not in foreclosure. I had not been in foreclosure. I wasn't in need of a short sale. And so I was helping other people from a place of wanting to help other people, but not from a place of being a customer. Now, I will say that there's some people out there who get into that kind of business and they've been there and they just want to help other people not get there as well or get out of that situation. That is always more powerful. Because again, a first party testimonial of I've been there, I'm going to help you, is way different than a third party testimonial, which is I helped Bob, Bob was there, now Bob is here, right? That's still good, but not as powerful. So key is first find what you believe in. What is it that you believe in? What excites you? What could you talk about all the time? And not in a pushy sales way where like you're in the line at the grocery store and you're trying to sell every person that has a pulse because you're just so excited, right? Sometimes that's valuable. It depends on what you're selling, but that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to what can you talk about day in, day out? What are you excited by? What do you think is fascinating and fun and is valuable, right? What is valuable to the world or to that segment that you see as valuable and you know is valuable? Again, this is where if you have experiences in life, it really plays into sales, because as you can say, like, I've been at companies where we had this issue and then I saw that we got this thing and then that really helped. And now you go into selling that thing, whether it's marketing automation or consulting or sales enablement tools or whatever that looks like, because you've seen it and you've been near it, that always helps. So that's the first thing. That's the one of the best pieces of advice is like, what excites you and what do you believe in? Again, keeping in mind, there's a ton of stuff. There's infinite number of things to sell out there. And so you might not know. So some of it might be, okay, what category, what excites you in a category? And then finding some specific stuff that you just didn't know because there's so many things out there. Second thing to consider and think about when you're looking at an ideal sales role and an ideal sales job at a company, again, this is whether you're in one now and you're looking to change companies, maybe something doesn't feel right, or you might be validating whether you're in the right fit or not, and this might apply to you, or you're looking at getting into sales and you're thinking, all right, how do I know if this is going to be the right fit? The second one here is looking at what kind of a conversational relationship person are you? Now, here's what I mean by this is there are generally two types of sales cycles. There's short sales cycles and then there's long sales cycles. What is a short sales cycle? Well, a short sales cycle is when you walk into, let's say Best Buy, and you need to buy a new TV and you're on a mission, you generally know what you're looking for. You walk in, somebody helps you make the best decision for what your needs are. And then you walk out with a TV, right? And that's it, right? That's a really short sales cycle. That's a one visit sales cycle, one visit close. In telephone sales, which is where I work a lot, there's the one call close, which is, let's say somebody needs help with a credit card or needs help or wants to sign up for insurance and they're ready to go. It's done. One phone call, however long that takes, could be 20 minutes, could be an hour, but it's done, right? And you may never talk to that person again. You may never talk to that prospective client ever again, and that's okay. And then you're moving on. All right. The other side is more of a long sales cycle, longer sales cycle. And then there's enterprise sales, which is in a different category, right? So let's say longer sales is more than a one call close. That might be a few weeks. It might be a few months where you talk to somebody once and you're getting an idea if they're interested or if it's even a good fit. Then you're scheduling another follow-up call. And then you're maybe going through a demo or some kind of discussion about what options are available. They've got to talk about it with others. They've got to think about it, especially in a B2B standpoint. And then there's a decision needs to be made, and then there's budgeting, and that could go on for a while. Sometimes that happens really quick. Some longer sales cycles could be also really quick, where it's a matter of hours or days or weeks. When somebody's really ready, it's really a good fit and they know what they want. Other times it could take months and months and months. It could take years. That depends, but it's something where the expectation isn't a one call close. And again, not just B2B, sometimes B2C as well. Somebody's looking at help getting, assistance with their finances, right? So they're looking at getting set up with a financial planner. That's going to be a longer term sales cycle because it's like, hey, we got to meet and then we got to look through the finances. Then we got to put together a plan. And does this make sense? And do you want to hire our company or myself, right? So there's several stages versus one. Then there's enterprise. Enterprise is when you're looking at, I'm going to sell this expensive package of whatever it is, right? It could be copiers, it could be software to a large company. This could take 6 to 18 months. It's going to have, it could be, $100,000. It could be $10 million is the sales price, but it's going to take a long time. There's a lot that's going to happen. It's disrupting a lot of things by, making this decision to buy because there's either something in place that needs to be removed and replaced, or this is something brand new. And then the infrastructure has to be built around it. A whole bunch of people have to agree to the cost and a lot of people have to be involved with the implementation so that it gets done successfully even before it starts. And those take a long time, right? If I'm selling IBM on sales training programs to help with all of their people, and here's what it's going to cost, and here's what we got to put in place, that's not a one call close, right? Not even a couple of call conversation sales cycle. That's going to take longer. Here's why I mention this is a lot of people are in sales roles that might not be the best fit for them because their brain thinks one way or the other. Many people out there are short conversation relationship people. Others are really long conversation relationship people, right? And so what happens is if you're in a one call, mostly short sales cycle process, but you really like chatting with people and getting to know people, and you really like to build relationships with people, that's a tough one because what happens is your calls are going to be longer. You're going to chat with people a lot more, and then it's going to feel like something's missing and you feel like you just want to keep talking to them, which usually is not good for several reasons, which I won't get into. And the other side is also true where I see people who are used to short sales cycle. Let's say somebody who's used to selling cars, which is you show up, I sell you a car, I may not see you again. They go into longer sales cycles, like business to business SaaS sales. And then what happens is they're used to this quick, like I meet you once, I need to push you into this or else I'm never going to hear from you again. And then they go into the sales cycle, which is, all right, let's set an appointment for next Friday. All right, based on that, then I'm going to talk to your manager on the following Wednesday. And it's tough for them to switch. So one of the things is it's partially self-awareness. Who are you? What kind of mode do you like? What kind of conversations, relationship building? And then also, based on the role that you're in, what do you need to shift? Because a lot of people don't even realize that they are a short sales cycle person in a long sales cycle mode, and they don't realize that's causing some of the issues. And I've seen managers who aren't aware of looking at their team and going, okay, these people just don't get it. They're trying to one call close this really long cycle. Or what I've seen the opposite, which is somebody who's a long relationship type person and salesperson going into a shorter sales cycle mode and just making it worse, right? Extending things, making it multiple calls, stretching it out when it doesn't need to be, and which results in losing sale opportunities because they're not having the urgency that's there. So one of the biggest things I advise and I tell people and I look for is, what is that mode? What is your default mode? Are you almost a short-term relationship person or a long-term relationship person? And then how does that show up in your conversations and what excites you? I know for me, my first job was in mortgage, and then my second in the sales world. Then my second was helping people in foreclosure. Between those two roles, like mortgage might, at best case scenario, 30 to 45 days, maybe if it was a refinance way back in the day. If it was somebody buying a house, could be 6 months, right? By the time they get pre-approved, go out there, find a house, get it approved. Like, you don't know, like you're going to, and then you want referrals. So you're going to keep in touch with people. When I got into helping people who were in foreclosure, one of the biggest things was that was a long sales cycle. That was a long process. And a lot of times people were so stuck that it was a long process anyway, because they were so stuck. So I remember dealing with people for 12 to 18 months. And by the time that transaction's finally done, I feel like I formed a relationship with them. And then it's weird to not talk to them. And so to go from that to right after that was going into shorter sales cycles, sales, it felt like something was missing, because I like the relationship building. I like helping somebody long-term, which is why I do what I do now with consulting. But that's more my mode, right? Like, get in, help somebody, get out and never talk to them again. Doesn't fit my mode, because I just like helping people and I want to know that it's helping people, right? So just be aware of where you're at, maybe even where you're at now, and if that's a good fit. And I'll tell you, like, I come across people all the time who are in the perfect role, right? They are short-term. They're looking at it. They know what their job is. They want to have this 5-minute conversation, set an appointment. They want to have this hour-long call and then be done and then move on. And they like the excitement of moving on and helping someone new. And they're okay with, you know, not talking to the other person, just knowing that they did what they did. And that's great. It's awesome. I love when I see that, because I'm like, all right, this person is in the right spot. So, that's you, right? So talking about you. Now let's shift a little bit to the side of finding a job. And again, for people who are tuning in, if you're joining right now, I am talking about getting your ideal sales job. And what does that take? What does that look like? And how can you set yourself up for success? Because there's a lot of people who fall into sales and they have no idea what they're doing, what they're looking for, who they are, and what they should be on the lookout for. And then they end up in some rough situations, or the wrong job that's not a good fit for them, the wrong job where it wasn't what was promised, which is what I'm going to talk about next. And so many different things. And part of that's life. You just don't know what you don't know. But that's why I'm doing this, is I want to help people get into the ideal one, whether you're in one now and you want to confirm if you're in the right spot, or maybe you want to make a move, or you're thinking about getting into sales. You think sales is gross, unfortunately, based on your past experiences, but you know that it could be good for you. Then I'm super glad you're here, because then that means you're open to a different way and realizing that sales doesn't have to be gross, especially when done by a professional. So the next part of this I wanted to cover is to watch out for overpromising job descriptions, job posts, and hiring managers. In fact, I just saw this 2 weeks ago with someone I was talking to bring on board. She actually went and took another offer from another company. Turned out what they promised, absolutely not possible, not feasible. Nobody was doing it. And it was just overpromising. Now, when you hear those numbers, when you hear you could make $10,000 a month, you could make $100,000 your first year. I always joke, it's, you know, you come on board here and you'll make, you know, $10,000 a minute. When you hear those things, it's not always too good to be true, right? So I'm not saying you can't make great money in sales and that there are not opportunities to make money in sales in your first year with the opportunities that are available. Definitely not saying that. So I'm not going to say anytime you see that, that's got to be a scam, or it's got to be selling something that's not appropriate, or doing it in a way that's not effective. Not saying that at all. But what you want to do is you want to go into it with some maybe cautious optimism about, is that possible? Is that reasonable in the market? And then ask a couple of things, right? So here's the things that you want to be on the lookout first. Is it possible? Is that possible to make that kind of money? Is that realistic, right? You see these posts. I see them all the time. I see them on Facebook groups as well, where it's like, hey, come join my team and I'll show you how to make this much money. It's like, is that even possible? Okay. Is it possible? Maybe it is. Second question, is anyone else doing it? When you go to interview at a company, and let's say you're talking with them, what you want is, who is doing it? Not everybody's doing it, not I have these people who are doing it, but who exactly is doing it? And here's the important part, right? Let's say the example is somebody's, you know, making $10,000 a month. Is who is doing it? Like what people specifically? And then how long have they been there? Because if they've been there for 3 years, then okay, then that makes sense. Then the other question is, how long did it take them to get there? And how long should it take you to get there? Because if they've been there for 3 years and it took them 2 years to get to that level, then you have to assess that and go, okay, am I okay with whatever the base salary is or whatever the ramp up period is to get to that point? If it's going to take me 2 years, you have to understand that and go into it with that. A lot of times what happens is companies say you can make $10,000 a month. You know, take you 60 days to ramp up and then you should be good. And what they're doing is either basing it off of just lies, right? Where no one's ever done that, or a couple of small examples where it's like, okay, we had a couple people who did it. Maybe that manager did it and they are using themselves as a basis. And maybe they're a superstar. Maybe it was a perfect alignment of the people they know, their network, their sales ability, their experience, how they approach things, what they're doing. And again, this is all on the positive side. I'm not even getting into like the manipulation and all the other things, but what is it that, how long did it take them to ramp up? And are they special, right? Are they really unique, or is anybody capable of doing that? That's why it's so important to know. And again, it's not that these things aren't true or accurate. It's just a function of, okay, but what's realistic, right? And I'm not telling you to be realistic. I'm not saying that you need to be average. The average person takes this. Absolutely not. But you want to know where that number is, that benchmark is, the results are, so that you know what it will take. And again, if average is making 5,000, superstars are making 10,000, you want to make 10,000 a month, you better be a superstar. And if you want to be a superstar, you got to put in superstar effort. I don't mean on the field, I mean off the field as well. So I mean, when you're at work, it's all about putting in maximum effort, making the calls, putting in, you know, the time and the effort to make it work. And then off the field, it's studying, it's reading, it's getting coaching, it's having a mentor, it's going through training programs, it's getting feedback on your calls or your meetings. It's everything that a superstar would do if they were in another career, like sports. What you see on the field is only a small portion. If you want to get paid superstar, you know, NBA money, you have to act like that all the time, right? All week, not just show up and hope that it works. So just keep that in mind. So again, it's never, when I used to hire people, one of the big things that I would do in the interviews is I would tell people how much money they could make. And then what I would do is I had a redacted, you know, blacked out payroll sheet for a 2 week period. Usually I would print them up. I'd try to have them as recent as possible. So it wasn't like some archived old version of when things were good. I mean, like right now in this pay period that just ended, which is a big key, is like, look for that kind of as a sign. But I would show that to people and I would have it organized by pay, but I would have the number of months that somebody worked there, the number of deals they did. And I would slide that across. It's like, here's the line. Here's the average. Here's the top people that are doing well. Here's the bottom people that are probably being fired soon. And like, literally it's up to you. I'm not going to tell you, you can make that. I'm not going to tell you, you're going to make this. That's up to you. It's where you want to put yourself in this list. That's what you're going to do. And that's really what you want when you're interviewing with a company. Do you want to see those kind of numbers so that you know what's realistic, what's actually happening, and then what's the game that you want to play? So that's the big thing. My challenge with that is most companies aren't going to want to show you that. Most companies are going to promise and say, hey, don't worry, we've got these people. They're not going to show that to you, which could be a red flag, could be a sign that you need to be careful of. Next part here. When we're talking about interviews, one of the big things that people don't always realize is that in an interview process, they are interviewing you. They want to determine if it's a good fit, but you are also interviewing them. And this might sound like common sense. A lot of people think they know that and realize it, but it's really up to you. It's like any relationship you want to get into. If you want to get into a romantic relationship with somebody, they might be asking you questions, but you're also asking them questions to see if it's a good fit on both sides, to see if this has a chance. Like, is this a good fit or not? And that is up to you. many times candidates, especially if they're desperate for a job, especially if they need a job and that need is there, kind of like a desperate salesperson, then what happens is they feel like they want to take anything. They don't want to push back. They don't want to ask a lot of questions. They don't want to dive into things. They don't want to look for anything that might not be the right fit or be a red flag. They just want to take a job. They want to get a job. They want to give it a chance. And I'll tell you, if you've done that a couple of times, you know not to do that continuously, because then you end up in a bad situation that's not a good fit, where you're not happy and you're basically burning up time. You're burning through life that you can't get back doing something that you don't like, that's not good fit for you, that's not fun. And life is too short for that, right? Life is too short to do shit that you hate. Just fundamentally, that's the case. And so make sure you're interviewing, make sure you're asking questions, make sure you're making sure that it's a good fit for you as well as what they're doing for them. All right. So next part here, and this is the last part for helping you get an ideal sales job for you, or confirm that you're in an ideal sales job right now, is that you want to look at the process. Now, I have this thing that I do, and it's part of my personality and the way my brain works, is I see and pay attention to everything. When I go into a business, I see everything from an operational standpoint. I see how people act. I see what's being done. I see what's on the walls. I just analyze it all. And I have for a long time, not even just since being a consultant, but I'm talking for a very long time. I walk into anywhere. I mean, literally, I can remember a long time ago, going as an adult, but going into like a frozen yogurt place, and my brain's literally counting customers and then thinking about the transaction size and how many customers a day do they need to cover their rent and then their payroll and then what's their cost of goods. Like, that's just what my brain does, right? It just thinks about that and just sees all that and is processing. And so one of the big things that I know from interviewing and watching things and then also hearing what people say is what you want to do is try to tune that in when you're in the interview process, when you're going through finding a new job. And it could be now, could be any point in your life, right? I'm talking about sales jobs now. There's some of you watching and listening to this, you know, might be close friends of mine or connections or business people who I know who are like, I'm not going to get another sales job. So I'm here to support you, but I'm not getting another sales job. But this might apply to you in some other way as well. But when you're going through an interview, recruiting, job process, pay attention to everything. Because here's the fundamental truth. And this is what I've learned about people and businesses, is that the way that somebody does something is generally the way that they do everything. Let me say that again. And I forget who to attribute that quote to, but the way that people do something is the way that people generally do everything. If somebody is sloppy and late over here, they're going to be sloppy and late everywhere, right? It's just their personality. It's how they see the world. It's how they operate. When it comes to businesses, the way that a business handles you and the interview process, the recruiting process, the onboarding, the training, that is all giving you indications and clues of how they operate as a company, what their company culture is, how they feel about their employees, how they feel about communication, and what they value and think is most important, right? All of those things. If you, for example, show up for an interview, and you go into that lobby, so say it's in person, right? Which seems crazy in this day and age, you know, February 2022, thinking about, okay, in-person interviews, but obviously it still happens. It's trending back to more of that. But if you go into that lobby and that lobby is a mess, that is an indication, right? Of how they feel about what they're putting out to the world. If you show up to that lobby and nobody is there in that reception area, and you have to wait, and then finally someone comes in, that's an indication of what they think is important and how well-structured and how well-run they are, right? Of course, things happen. Of course, life happens. Could have been an emergency. Something could have distracted that receptionist person, whoever is supposed to be up front. That happens, but it's a clue and an indication. If you're supposed to meet somebody and they're running late, that is an indication. if they take you and put you in a conference room and don't tell you anything and don't tell you when someone's going to be there, and that's how they're communicating, that's how they're going to communicate constantly. If that person who comes in to interview you barely asks you any questions and just tells you everything about the sales role and tells you how amazing they are and tells you how much money you're going to make, and is telling and selling and telling and selling, I promise that is a strong indication of how they feel that the sales process should be managed. If you get a job there, that's what they think selling is. Because recruiting is selling, interviewing is selling, all of it's selling, everything in life is sales. And so if that person operates that way in the hiring mode, then that's what they think salespeople should be doing, right? It's the same reason when I'm doing interviews, I ask lots of questions and I will slide the piece of paper across that shows the payroll in the pay period with everybody with their names covered up, but literally show it, because I sell with facts and figures, like not just facts and figures, but the whole package of, I want to know if it's a good fit. I want to know if I can help you. I want to know if you can be successful here. And then let me show you what people are actually doing. That's my combined style. So if you see that people are running late, if you see that things are messy, if you see like people aren't communicating, like you're stuck somewhere and you're just waiting for someone to show up, and then they show up, they just tell you things, they don't ask you questions and they leave, I promise that's some indications of the company, their corporate culture, how they feel about people, how they communicate, and what they think is important. I promise that. Question then is that okay with you or not? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But what I'm saying is, if you notice that, right, if you're supposed to have a phone call with them, they don't call you, and then you have to call to follow up, and you shouldn't have, right? Like they were supposed to call you and they just didn't, or they called you like really late. That is an indication of how things work. Not right or wrong, not good or bad. It's up to you to determine if that's somewhere you want to work. Does that fit with your mode? And I will tell you, here's a super secret, I guess it's not secret anymore, but a super important indicator. If you really want to check to see what the company culture is of an organization that you might work for, is at some point when you're in their building, probably after the interview, go check out the restrooms. If they're accessible, like through the hall, check out the restrooms, see what those look like, because that will tell you how the employees treat the office, right? Is it a messy bathroom? Is it not? Is there stuff everywhere? Is there mess everywhere or not? And it's interesting because that will tell you how does the people in the organization feel about their workspace, which is usually an extension of how the company treats its employees and what the culture focuses on and what's valuable. So just some things to think about and keep in mind. And I know that seems kind of odd. You're wanting to get a sales job. You want to make a bunch of money, but you've got to make sure that it's a good fit, because if somebody, you work for a company and they think that you should just be selling and telling and pushing people and just like getting people hyped up to buy, to come there and work there, that's what they're going to expect you to do in the sales role. And if that's not your mode, or that's not what you want to do, that doesn't fit who you want to work for or what you want to sell, it's not going to be a good fit. And I promise it's probably not going to be very successful, and they probably have a really high turnover anyway. So that's the big things. Hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully this was valuable for you all out there in some way to help with getting the ideal job. Again, maybe it's a job that you have now and you're confirming, hey, am I in the right place? Is this the right fit? Should I be here? Or maybe it's that you're thinking about changing and you want to go to a different role, right? You want to find something different and you want to make sure you don't make the same mistakes, right? You don't pick something that's not a good fit. You want to get into something better. Or again, maybe you're not in sales at all. You think sales could be effective, could be lucrative, could be a great career for you, something you could be good at. You hear people who make money in sales, but then you also feel like sales is gross and dirty and isn't done right. And you wouldn't want to do that to other people because you don't like it done to you when you go out there as a customer in the world. And so then you're not sure if sales is even for you. If that's the case, then make sure you check out more of these sessions, because that will help cement that you can be successful in sales, You don't have to do it that other way that people think that sales is. In fact, I saw this on Facebook the other day where it was like, I switched from this industry to this industry. And, you know, somebody said, well, when I did that, I stopped being a salesperson. And what they're thinking or and equating to is that because they went from cars to insurance. And so I think, well, when I went into insurance, I'm no longer a salesperson, right? And that language specifically says, okay, salesperson equals this. And instead, now that I sell insurance, I'm actually helping people and it's consultative. Well, that indicates that what they were doing before was not that. And it indicates what people think is that dividing line when it could be the same thing. You can be a salesperson who's a sales professional that's also consultative, that's actually doing the right thing for people instead of what we all fear when we chat with a salesperson. So hopefully this helps, whether you're in this role now or anywhere you need to go. If you do not have a copy of it and you'd like a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, transform from order taker to quota breaker, whether it's the hard copy or the Audible version, message me, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And I will send you a link for the hard copy, which you just cover the shipping. I'll send you a signed copy of the book. Also Audible, I have some credits for that. So depending on if you message me, if I have any available, happy to set you up with that. You can also find it on Audible if you have a subscription there. And then still doing it. I'll probably always be doing it. It's not just a seasonal thing, but make sure you go to jasoncutter.com. And I have the vision board challenge up there. It's really important to get in your mind what it is that you want, get clear on that, put it in the form of pictures, and then help that direct you, especially when you're struggling, to help pick you back up so you keep going every day, because sales can be a challenge, right? Even when you're doing well in sales, you're still probably falling down more times than not. And so the vision board challenge is there, 4-part free email series for you to get just understand why and then put that in place. So go to jasoncutter.com, scroll down, you'll see the vision board challenge. And that's it for this weekly session. Make sure to check out the replays. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you can catch it all live. I do this every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then I'm also the private group coaching program enrollment is open. We're having a blast with that. In fact, as soon as I get done with this, I'm going to switch over to that. We're going to do our private group meeting. And so that's some really fun private group coaching where, you know, people coming with their questions, coming with their situations, their scenarios, and then, you know, us talking about it, me providing my feedback on an individual basis. These sessions are great for general overall. But if you want some nearly one-on-one help or some to learn from others who are in sales and what they're going through, what they're wanting to overcome, how to handle objections, how to find new business, how to approach people, how to do follow-up calls, you can also go to jasoncutter.com and find out more about the private group coaching. So that's it for this session. Appreciate everyone for tuning in live and also the replay. And I will catch you next week. Have a great weekend. I'll see you all soon.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.